Can death be outwitted? Is the secret of eternal life just around that corner? Today, medical science patches up mutilated bodies, transplanting human skin, eyes, limbs, even vital organs. For in the ancient folk legends, tales are told of blood-sucking vampires, crawling out of graves to live on the bodies of helpless victims. Is man now doomed to produce a race of ever-living monstrosities, worse than the vampires of legend? Will ruthless men and women of great wealth and power greedily buy or steal the living bodies of the young and beautiful, so their brains may live on forever? Such questions may seem fanciful, but at this very moment, scientists are working on the answer to brain transplantation.
You're a monster.
And human bodies are used.
This is Rax and Razors.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at Rax and Razors Radio, we love to bring the horror. That's why I'm going to let you know right now, if you want to get some amazing horror artwork, whether it be something from your favorite film or something from the artist's head himself with some unique stuff, you need to go check out DiscoBloodbath.com. That's DiscoBloodbath.com. Christmas is right around the corner, so if your loved one loves horror, be sure to go to DiscoBloodbath.com for one of the most unique Christmas gifts you can give.
We have every reason to be afraid.
This is the Rax and Razors interview.
Of the Rax and Razors Radio Show. I'm Greg Russell Titterington, and who do I have with me?
And this is your wonderful, wonderful friend, Derek Young. And tonight, since it is Halloween this month, what better way to celebrate Halloween than by talking to one of the most iconic disfigured men in the world, Melvin the Mop Boy, a.k.a. the Toxic Avenger. Mm-hmm. Melvin, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, Derek. Hey, are you feeling moppy tonight?
Am I feeling moppy?
I'm good. I'm good.
Am I feeling moppy?
Are you feeling moppy? Yeah.
I haven't busted into the moonshine yet, so I don't think so.
Yeah, I miss your moonshine.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, Mark. So
yes.
Tonight, I know that we have a lot that we're going to talk about. And try to cram it into a nice little amount of time. But before we get into the very recent...
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You
stopped there.
You dropped out or something.
Okay. Well... So I know that fans will love to hear, and always love to hear, you talk about your time on set with the Toxic Avenger. So I know that I have a few questions that I haven't actually heard the answers to or even took the time to ask you. But one question in particular is, did they really use toxic waste?
Well, I don't know where they got the toxic waste, but the prop department was very lame, and they didn't have a lot of money, and we were shooting in New Jersey in, like, kind of a swampy, like, dumping spot, and they brought these barrels in, and looked like, I was like, oh, the prop department really got it together. This stuff looks great. And I just think that in the end, that it really was some sort of toxic substance. And yeah, kind of freaked me out a little bit, but it was good for the movie.
Yeah, so what was it like doing everything? Like, I know there were some stunts. Did you do your own stunts?
I did half stunts. Like, I ran with the broom, jumped up on the couch, ran to the window, and then they cut, and then a stunt guy jumped out of the window into the barrel of toxic waste. Then he got out. I got in head first, and I came out of the barrel of toxic waste and went rolling around on the ground. Transformation scene started happening. I started on fire. One of the scenes where my hand starts on fire, it actually did start on fire. And then the stunt guy ran away on fire. So it was all, like, you know, sort of just done on the spur, and we managed to have a good time and freak out a lot of people and make a movie. I knew at the time, we were either making the worst film ever or a huge cult film, and kind of turned out to be you know, both.
Apart from Toxic Avenger, like, being a bizarre comedy, it was also a horror as well. Like, because our show covers only horror, because it was a mix of everything, like comedy, horror, action, suspense,
social commentary.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, this is Troma's horror film, the Troma team style of a horror, their own horror film, because the monster, you know, he slaughters people and stuff like that. And
he was a good guy, you know, and with issues, and all I can say is Troma always tries to have some kind of social commentary edge to everything they do. Mm-hmm. That's Lloyd. He always has you know, something like his, you know, this was for pro-environment, and that was 30 years ago, so they were way ahead of their time. Now it's really a huge thing, and back then, hardly anybody even talked or knew about anything going wrong with our environment. And so, yeah, he was always on the cutting edge, but people didn't realize it was the cutting edge until many years later.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember back then in video store rentals, it would be sometimes under horror or sometimes under action and sometimes under comedy. It depends on what store it was in, but it was a combination of all. And it was pretty much a grindhouse type film. Like, people who love horror with tongue in cheek were really into Toxic Avenger. It became a cult classic.
Oh yeah. When it was released, we had a premiere in Times Square, and the cast and crew were there, and a few public were there, but definitely not a full theater. And it kind of, the movie opened, and it kind of opened and closed real quick. Like within a week and a half, it was gone. But then,
you mean a theatrical release? It was only played in a week and a half. I thought only 2 weeks, for unless it's a limited theatrical release. Was this a limited one?
Well, no, it probably was 2 weeks, but it disappeared really quickly. But then
there was
a little theater in Greenwich Village, New York, called the Bleecker Street Cinema. And somehow someone there had an idea to start showing it as a midnight movie, like on Saturday night. And they did it one weekend, and it got some write-up, I think in the Village Voice, and they did it again the next week, and it filled the auditorium. And it just, they kept doing it like every weekend, and that's how cult films get started, you know, when people keep going to them, especially as like a midnight movie. So this was really taken off as a midnight movie. I even made a personal appearance there one Saturday. And I did, you know, I got up in front of the screen, and I was telling jokes, and I was, you know, the crowd loved me, even though my jokes were really bad. And it was very cool.
How bad were they?
They were really bad, but you know what? I could have just gone up there and done nothing, and the crowd loved me. So that was really cool, because that's when I realized this was something special. And later that night, I went to a bar with my girlfriend, and I think I still had a mop. And in the bar, the Joey Ramone was in there, and we started talking, and he was a big fan. He'd seen it, and I was a fan of his, the Ramones.
What's he like?
He was very quiet and very hard to hear, but it was really fun because he was one of my heroes, and as it turned out, I was one of his heroes. So it was a very cool night. And then, after that,
you ended up being a lot of people's heroes, Mark.
The movie just, you know, became a life of its own, and the rest is history, you know.
Yeah, well, you ended up, because of that, becoming a hero to a lot of people.
I'm a hero to a lot of like 16-year-old nerdy boys. They all love me a lot. And
and the nerdy boys, are they horror fans? Because most, like a lot of people are that love horror films are considered horror nerds.
Yeah, I think that's how they discovered it. But I think they also saw in me somebody like them, you know, especially like, you know, kids that got picked on and bullied and you know, and then of course, you know, the nerdy Melvin turns into a superhero,
a vengeful superhero monster.
It
was a superhero, probably one of the only superhero horror films out there.
Yeah, like you said, it was such a conglomeration of different genres, you know. And I mean, it's a very funny movie, I think.
Now, Mark, I'm going to say this. You mentioned the cutting edge of having the message of the environment, but having a film at the same time that had an anti-bullying message in it at that point in time was cutting edge itself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A lot of people weren't talking about bullying back then, and they weren't talking
nobody
about
was.
The same word.
Yeah, nobody was. That's... Besides the environment, it was, you know, also that was huge, the anti-bullying thing. And nobody else, you know, did it until recently, really.
Well,
yeah,
very recently. You know, it's funny because, you know, I did that with my third film, and then while filming that film, I ended up getting to meet you, because you and Joe Nardelli were working on Toxic Tutu, which had a huge underlying anti-bullying deal with it.
Yes, and it did. Let me tell you how Toxic Tutu got started. Toxic Tutu, for your fans out there, your listeners that don't know, was a movie that I made with Joe Nardelli and Derek Young was a producer, and we had a lot of input mostly from Toxic Avenger fans and Troma fans. But about 5 years ago or longer now, I got invited to my very first monster convention, the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I called up Joe to come, you know, because I was going to be a guest. And I said, why don't you come, bring your camera, and let's film it. Let's, you know, like, we'll document it. And he was like, oh, that's a great idea, you know. So he came along. We shot a bunch of interviews. I think we shot you, Derek. I know we did. And
I was in it too, but the scenes didn't work for this. But I think Derek told me there's going to be a special edition. I did it mine in Vancouver.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So anyway, what happened was that we shot this, you know, that weekend, and we were originally just going to make a trailer and then, you know, try and raise some money to make, you know, the movie or to keep shooting the documentary. But Joe decided he wanted to have a narrative film. And so we started making a feature film, and we started shooting mostly with conventions as our backdrop. We had all sorts of locations in New York and Los Angeles, and had all these different conventions. And it turned into, Toxic Tutu turned into the almost true story of whatever became of the Toxic Avengers, Mark Torgo, Melvin the Mop Boy. And very happy to say we finished it. Derek Young got us distribution, and it is available worldwide. You can get it on Amazon. You can order DVDs. There are all sorts of venues that Toxic Tutu is available. And it's very exciting that we were able to pull it off. Because sometimes we thought we would never do it.
Now, this is a horror film as well, this Toxic Tutu, right?
It has horror elements. We tried to keep it true to the Troma style. So there are fun, just like Toxic Avenger, there are funny parts in it. There are horror parts in it. It has a huge social commentary, anti-bullying message. Derek, what am I missing? What else would you say?
Well, there's the documentary part of it. Then you have the you have a little bit of action into it with the wrestling stuff that's in it.
Big wrestling section. And we got, you know, stars that were all fans of Toxic Avenger. Johnny Fairplay, who was a star, who was a reality TV star on Survivor, became our bad guy. He was a huge Toxic Avenger fan. And he came up to me in Charlotte at that first convention. He was like, I'm such a huge fan. I've seen that movie so many times. And I was like, oh, that must be how you became the bad guy. And he thought that was, yeah, that's probably right, you know. It's all evolved into this whole other world, and now I'm enjoying doing conventions, you know, still, even though the filming is done. I've got one coming up in March, I think, in Texas, called the Cult Classic Convention. Oh, it's in February, someplace, and that's my next one. I'm going to, you know, keep moving forward. Supposedly there's a Hollywood new remake being made soon, Toxic Avenger, and I heard that they might want to have a cameo for me in there somewhere, so that would be cool.
What was it like working with Pat Ryan, because he was the mayor who put you down in his character? In it,
he was a total professional. He was a pleasure to work with, and he was really, really good and, you know, talented. Of course, he was so obese. You know, there was like a whole makeup mop session just to keep his sweat under control.
He died of a heart attack.
Yeah, he died. Yeah, a lot of people.
He was
died.
A big man, so you know that's what can happen.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, it's
sad. Because he did a good job. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in a lot of trauma movies. He was in, you know, more than this. They used him pretty much on all their movies. If you like check for some of the other films, I think he was in Return to Nukem High, and you know he was
Return
a trauma
of Nukem
actor.
High?
I think so.
Well, Return of Nukem High, I think was in, he died in 91, so Return to Nukem High.
I think he was in the original.
Yeah, Class of Nukem High.
Yeah, right.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were in Return to Nukem High. I know I saw Class of Nukem High, and it was a sci-fi comedy, not a horror, but I understand this one that you're in, you're as a school janitor, it's a horror comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a very disturbing scene where I'm a janitor in a closet, and I'm pleasuring myself, and there's a monster that comes in and gets me. But the reason I was in that, Lloyd Kaufman is actually in Toxic Tutu. So when he asked me to be in Return, I could not turn him down. So I went to New York to do that. And that was
the movie is definitely horrifying.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good, you know. Lloyd always says they're like the most independent movie company that's made many, many movies and never made money on any of them. So but somehow they've been able to keep going, so they must have made a little bit of money.
So it was like, was it struggling to do the monster attacking you?
Well, I'm older now than I was when I did the original Toxic Avenger, and I was in the trauma building in their basement on their cement floor for a couple hours while we shot the scene I was in. So, but my friend Joe Nardelli was there, and he was like off getting me moonshine in between takes. And now, Joe, the director of Toxic Tutu, has also passed away, and it happened shortly after we had our screening in Yonkers, New York. I guess it was a year and a half ago.
It's been about 2 years.
Lemmy was in Return. Did you ever meet him?
I didn't meet him, but I was a fan. And I tried to. He used to hang out at the Rainbow Room in Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, I was gonna tell you, I hang out. That's my main hangout when I visit LA, and I saw him there. But he was busy working on this game gambling thing, and like he was signing autographs, and so he needed a break, and which is understandable. I never got to talk to him, which is a shame.
Yeah. But yeah, that's cool that he was in, you know, those movies too. So Troma, you know, definitely kept its cult status all this time by using, you know, these cult actors and abstract people that you only see in strange little, you know, Troma movies or Derek Young movies or, you know, things they're not traditional mainstream artists, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear your role as Beast in the movie Beast, which is you at the title role in.
That's an interesting story because Beast has never been made. It's never been made, and I know it's on IMDb, but the filmmaker, he pursued me for a long time, and I said I would do it. And speaking of people that have died...
Oh, he shows pictures here.
Can you send those to me? Because I haven't seen those.
Okay. But Derek said power got knocked out and internet and all shut down. Are you there, Derek? Hold on a sec. Hold on. Power got knocked out and internet and all shut down.
Oh.
Hold on. Let's see what Derek says.
When did that happen?
Just right now.
Okay.
Derek? Shit. Power got knocked out and the internet... That's not cool.
And it was being recorded where, on the internet?
Yeah, well, something like that. He says power got knocked out.
Well, I hope you didn't lose the interview.
I hope not. I'm going to have a heart attack. Hold on, I'm going to try this. Shit. Derek? He needs to answer. It says he's reading on my Facebook, but...
He can't call back in?
Well, I think he can. Hold on. Derek? Can you hold on a sec? What I'm going to do is I'm going to sign off and then call Derek and then call you back. Call back here.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on.
Hello?
Hello? Are you there, Mark? Hello? Mark? 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 Hello, Derek? Hello? 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 Hello?
Hey, what's up, Greg?
Hello? Greg,
hey, what's up, Mark?
Where's Mark?
He's calling back as soon as I text him.
Yeah, that should never happen, Derek.
Dude, my power got knocked out, damn it. God, you don't listen to power. Everything in my house, power, internet, all shut down.
Okay, you mean there was a power outage everywhere?
Yeah, and it shut off my computer.
Okay.
The whole block without power.
Was there a windstorm?
No, there's nothing. Somebody had to have ran into the damn thing.
Okay.
But anyway... Anyway,
Beast is very interesting because I know I've got an IMDb credit for it, and they've got like a digital, they've got a DVD cover, But it actually was never finished, and the filmmaker died, and that's the reason. I think his name was Gary Levinson.
Uh-huh.
And so it really doesn't exist.
Okay, even though so it, was it shot?
I never shot anything.
You were never
but,
in it?
I was supposed to be in it, yeah, and then I kind of I lost touch with him, and then I found out the guy died. So, you know, stuff like that, it always happens around me. You know, Derek knew about that. You know, stuff is always happening with anyone involved in the Toxic Avenger. What happened to Derek? He got really quiet.
Yeah, Derek?
Hey guys, are you still there?
Hey.
My power on the entire block went out, and the internet went out. My computer shut down, and I was hoping that it was still recording, which according to my phone when I called back in, it was. So
I'm sorry, Derek. It's probably my fault. Stuff like that happens all the time with me, you know. You can't expect to get involved with a conversation with me and crazy stuff not happening. So,
Mark,
are you okay? Is everyone okay?
Mark, if you would quit drinking toxic waste, you wouldn't put out such a toxic vibe that you could kill power across the nation.
I know. It's really bad. It's really, you know, a vice that I have. And I've tried to quit. And, you know, everywhere I go, it's just some path of destruction.
I tell you, I rammed my leg into the wall. My kids are in there crying. I had to light candles. My wife is trying to figure out how to get in touch with AEP, but I doubt it's going to matter because it looks like they blew a transformer somewhere.
Oh, man. Make sure the kids are safe. Make sure the kids are safe.
I don't know. My phone's on 20%, and I don't know how I'm going to wake up in time
to
work.
You know what? We should probably wrap this up because I don't want anything else to happen to you, and it's very likely that something will if you keep talking to me.
But, Mark, you're a hero. How could that be?
It's a weird dichotomy. You know, I'm a hero, but I'm also, you know, I shoved a little old lady into the dryer that was, you know, we thought was innocent, you know.
It's a curse.
It's a curse.
The Toxic Avenger is cursed.
You're right.
There's a toxic curse on the Toxic Avenger.
Yes.
I don't know. But anyway, I'm sorry that this happened. We're going to have to get together with you later on. Maybe we can have Lloyd on with you sometime, and we can have a fun reminiscing day, and nothing crazy will happen.
Don't expect nothing to happen, though, because it just always does.
Well, if you want something fun and crazy, I'm going to tell you this. Crazy things always happen with Mark Torgel, so you got to make your way to his next convention appearance. You need to go check out Toxic Tutu because that's pure craziness. I don't even know why I joined in on that. No, I do because I love Toxic Avenger. But we're going to move forward with the show. We're going to let you go. And hopefully Power will come back on soon. But we're going to try and finish recording the show so that we have it all together for the fans. Anyway, Mark, I appreciate you coming on tonight, especially since I know how busy you are.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I hope your podcast goes out to millions.
I don't know, because if your vibes can knock the power out all the way here in Virginia from where you are, I'd hate for it to go out to millions across the world, because then we would have a blackout in the world.
Well, world's coming to an end anyway, you know. Why not go out with a toxic explosion?
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be something? Toxic ooze everywhere.
Yep. And you know that stuff glows in the dark too, so it'll light
up. And you would be, and you'd be in heaven.
There you go.
Because you could continue to enjoy your toxic waste. But anyway, thanks again, Mark. Everybody,
all
please
right.
make sure you holler at Mark at the convention. You go check out Toxic Tutu, and if you've never seen the Toxic Avenger, where the hell have you
Shame
been?
Shame on you. Shame on you. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, Mark. You have a good night.
Thanks so much. So what do we have next? Oh, sorry.
Bye-bye.
Sorry.
Greg, you know, it's crazy, man, that we're sitting here the month of All Hallows' Eve, and all this crazy stuff has happened while doing this show.
Uh-huh, totally. It's pretty scary.
it's weird, man, and I guess, you know, Mark is right. You know, he's, whenever he's around, crazy things happen. It just
mm-hmm.
so happens that we decided to have a guest that makes crazy things happen. Well, it's already a crazy month. But, you know, hey, it was great hearing everything that he gave us. And, geez, man, it has just been weird.
Oh, totally. Totally has been. Power outages and stuff like that. Just, that's unusual. It happens, and it got... took us off the air and stuff for a
yeah,
sec.
I mean, it is crazy, dude, that, you know, three power lines caught fire at the exact same time and knocked out power in the whole grid.
I wonder if that's the devil's work.
I don't know what it is, man, but it's it's freaky, especially at this time of the year.
Yeah, and Halloween is a night for great power. That's why we wear costumes and masks. To ward off the evil spirit. And, you know, what's nice about Halloween is, you know, candy, lots of candy. And there's even, I don't know if you've ever tried these Halloween cookies by Pillsbury. They're jack-o'-lantern
awesome.
Shaped.
Oh,
yeah,
those are awesome,
you had them?
Man. I can't wait for them every year, man. Those are amazing.
Yeah, they taste the best heated. When they're not heated, they don't taste as good. So...
Oh, yeah, but they're still perfect. But I'm going to tell you what, man. My favorite thing about Halloween, being a hardcore horror fan, I love scaring the crap out of people. And it's so easy at Halloween.
It's a good excuse to watch horror movies for sure.
Oh, yes, it is, man. It is. And they have so many great runs. Like, you can sit and watch all these different TV stations, and they're all dedicated to the Halloween series, to Friday the 13th, to all these great horror films, and it's just
Yeah,
amazing.
I watched Friday the 13th Part 6 not too long ago, because it's almost like a Hallows looking, it looks like it's fall time. And,
yes.
But, you know, no other than Halloween is the best movie to watch on Halloween.
Oh, you got that right, man. And I'll tell you what, everybody has to celebrate Michael Myers when it comes time for Halloween. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I have a Michael Myers mask, and yeah.
But anyhow, man, let's move on to the next segment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go into our movie review.
Okay, sounds good. And it's a good movie to watch on Halloween, in fact. So that's coming up next. But first, let's listen to a music break, which is the Jasons with their song Red-Blooded American Punk Rock.
We'll be right back. Rockin' Razor Sharp tonight. A switchblade plunged deep into your heart tonight. Alright. Red-blooded American punk rock.
Red-blooded. Red-blooded.
Red-blooded American punk rock.
Red-blooded. Red-blooded.
Sheer panic and tears in her eyes. Her innocence is shattered with the thrust of a knife. Forced entry, no escape. A journey to the darkness was a fatal mistake. Left broken and dead in the sheets. Another helpless victim of a fatal disease. You played with fire and now you're gonna learn. You wanna meet the devil and you're gonna fucking burn. I'm a fucking hand grenade tonight. American punk rock.
Red-blooded. Red-blooded.
Red-blooded American punk rock.
Red-blooded. Red-blooded.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at Rax and Razors Radio, we love to bring the horror. That's why I'm going to let you know right now, if you want to get some amazing horror artwork, whether it be something from your favorite film or something from the artist's head himself with some unique stuff, you need to go check out DiscoBloodbath.com. That's DiscoBloodbath.com. Christmas is right around the corner, so if your loved one loves horror, be sure to go to DiscoBloodbath.com for one of the most unique Christmas gifts you can give.
There's a monster up at New Night. How are we gonna kill somebody that's already dead?
Rax and Razors gives you the new movie review.
All right, we're back, and Greg, I tell you what, man, I've always loved the Jasons. They're a great band, and it's so awesome to see a tribute band to Friday the 13th.
Yeah, they sound very much like the Ramones. They're like a Ramones-type influenced band.
Yeah, you can hear it in them. I mean, I don't know if it's their influence or not, but I can hear it, you know? But I got to tell you, man, while we were on the break, I found out a little something about the power outage that just went through.
Okay.
And okay. I tell you, man, Mark was not lying. Crazy things happen because, come to find out, the reason our power went out is because several power poles at one time caught fire.
What happened?
Well, they ended up. They said that the power isn't going to be back on until about 5:30 in the morning, and they had to put the fires out, and they don't know what caused all of them to burst into flames. But
maybe the vandalism.
I don't think it's that, but it was just a crazy fluke thing that happened. And of course, like Mark Torgel said, when you're messing with when you're sitting around talking about spreading the toxicity, crazy things happen, and that's what we've been doing tonight, trying to spread the toxicity of Toxic Avenger and Toxic Tutu and all those great deals. But anyhow, man, I think we need to go ahead and we'll jump straight into the movie review.
So and our movie review, yeah, it's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and I gotta tell you that it is it's been a while since good movies are coming out, and it seems like good movies are coming out instead of just remakes all the time. And Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark takes place in the 70s, or no, in 1968 actually. Sorry, and it definitely had a retro feel to it, that movie.
They put a lot into it, man. I'm very happy to see creativity coming back into the films that are hitting in theaters, because it's giving fans a reason to go to theaters again. For the longest time, I had made the decision I wasn't going to theaters for a lot of reasons, and a lot of reasons are it's a waste of money, because when you go to the theater, man, you want to see the stuff you hadn't seen on the big screen that makes the movie special, you know? And there were a lot of moments in this that made this very good, that they didn't show in the trailer, that they didn't give away, and it was worth going and catching it in the theater, you know? And it's been a long time since I've been able to say that about movies. You know, they're starting to do it again, and I'm very glad they are.
Yeah. It has a nice beginning of the film showing taking place in Pennsylvania with kids getting ready to trick-or-treat, which is a nice touch to it. And what was creepy is the cornfield with that scarecrow and that evil badass kid, Tommy, just beating up the scarecrow. And it makes you wonder what will happen later on, thinking maybe the scarecrow will come to life and take revenge on him. Like, wasn't that very effective?
Yeah, it actually would be very effective, man. I gotta tell you, man, I'm gonna go ahead and say right now that when we get into talking about this, if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to hear any spoilers, when we get to talking in the latter part of this, yeah, you know, you might want to quick forward a little bit if you haven't seen the movie yet. If you haven't seen the movie yet, all I got to ask is why. Because it's worth watching. They put a very good movie together. They did a really great job. I mean, the musical composition for this is on point. You know, it really gives the vibe that it needs. Every little detail, they were taking a horror film serious and not just making it like a cash grab or making a joke of it because they really don't care for horror or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's something refreshing, because they made sure to make you wonder what's going to happen. They got in your head psychologically. They just did every little thing they could. I mean, the shots that were set up were great.
And there's even a haunted house in it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But like the part you were talking about with Tommy beating the scarecrow, the way they did those shots, the way they did those shots is what made that creepy.
Yeah.
It was very well done.
Yeah, and you would think Tommy was so obnoxious. He decides to ditch his girlfriend, throws her in the closet to be terrorized in that haunted house. I mean, come on. Those guys, people like that are, some kids are officially evil like that. And it really showed, and it was good to have a role like that in a horror film.
Very good. And kudos to the people acting for pulling that out and making it so believable. You know, I mean, the person playing Tommy, I gotta give kudos to the actor for that, because they
yeah,
did it.
It was a smaller role. Yeah, but it was still, he did a good job. The actor, I think his name, Austin Abrams.
Yeah, I mean, he was memorable, man. And that's why we're talking about him, because he did that good of a job. And there's going to be some big things coming in the future, Austin, after that. I mean, if you don't want to cast him for something after seeing his performance in that, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, and it was cool when they find that book, and then you see it writing it by itself, knowing that there's going to be another event happening. What was really creepy was when that guy was going to make leftover stew, I think. And, oh, it was so gross, you know, knowing what was going to be in the stew. And that zombie stalking him, and he tries to hide. And you just suddenly, you know, hiding under your bed. And imagine when you were a child, being scared of the dark, hiding under your bed, thinking there's something creepy, and that really happens in this movie. And there's a real jumping moment. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. They played on every aspect of horror.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the way that they played it, the director pulled off the story that was written in an amazing way. I mean, throwing in most of the details for each little thing that where you're going to get everybody, because one thing from something, there's something in this that freaks you out. It may not be the same thing for everybody, but there's something there that's going to get you.
Mm-hmm. And it's also attaches on your fears. Like, if you're afraid of spiders, there was something that happened to that woman high school girl, before she did her school play, and there was it looked like there was a hair coming out of her face, like some sort of a zit. And when she pulls it out, whoa, just gives you the chills with spiders. If arachnophobia.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And they had a great effects team. You know they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There were some great special effects with this thing.
Oh yeah, CGI was awesome.
The CGI, the practical effects, each little thing with it was perfect. You know? I mean, like I said, it was very, very refreshing to see, because there's a lot of creativity when it comes to this.
Yeah, I found the movie was like almost borrowed a bit from the Final Destination franchise. By knowing what their story is going to be and trying to defeat that.
You know, now that you mention it, you're right. It has a little bit from it. And it might be that either the person writing it or directing it was, you know, that's one of their favorite films. You know what I mean? I mean, everything shows in your work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And something that's a favorite of yours will show when you do something. And I'm not saying they directly meant for it to come across like that, but it did. Now that you mention it and I think back to it, it did. But dude, you can't beat it. I mean, I have waited for about 7 years to get a movie that did like this, you know, and I'm just glad we finally got it.
Yeah, I mean, it just teases your mind of your fears of when you were a kid, of that there's no such thing as ghosts or zombies or anything like that. It really focuses on your fear of this movie. And
that's what I'm saying. They were taking horror serious when they made this.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows, man. It shows.
Oh, it totally does. There was even some moment... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine, Greg. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's even some elements, like... there was a creature forming from a fireplace and acting goofy with, and that offered a bit of the Evil Dead 2 type franchise with the horror humor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna tell you like this, man. They balanced everything in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't too much humor. It was just enough. They played it at good timing. The editing for all of it was great. I mean, all around, I didn't find really anything I didn't like from the movie.
Oh, same here. And it offers a lot of twists and jumps. Like, it makes you jump out of your seat. I was like, whoa! I think there was, when I went to the theater, there was some people even had a brief scream. I mean, it was pretty much a creepy, surprising, catching you by surprise type of film. And anyone who loves horror, who likes to get scared, should check this movie out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been the problem for a while. Is every horror film is predictable. And it's so predictable, it's not really scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, like the remakes especially. They're, I mean,
oh yeah.
Sometimes,
and,
the yeah. Like,
and,
they're not
yeah,
scary.
And there's a lot of parts of this film you do not see coming.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what makes it
that's
so
what
good.
Makes, exactly. We were thinking the same thing. That's what makes it so good, is that you don't see a lot coming.
Yeah, like, I'd advise others to check this out. Like, horror films are starting to get good again. I'm quite impressed. Still, there's some remakes still being made. I hope remakes become almost extinct, because they should have films like this out.
Well,
and
they,
I think they,
well, you can't really... They've been doing remakes for decades, man.
Yeah, but they did it. It's just too overrated now. There's just too many of them. They've done remakes for decades, like in the 80s, but not so much. And they didn't mess with the original in the beginning with remakes.
Yeah, well, they just need to die down on it a bit. I mean,
yes, exactly.
An occasional remake, fine. If the movie needs to be remade just to get a new fan base for it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The younger generation is finding out about the originals just because of the remakes. So, hey, more power to it, because it's helping keep the originals going, because they're all finding out what really started all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the acting is good in it, and like Zoe Margaret Coletti was probably the best of the cast, playing the brainy type teenage girl, and had the looks for all of it, and had a spunky attitude. I mean, she does well with her scared emotional crying, too, in the film. I mean, she really brought it out for when she needed to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, dude. I got to give kudos to everybody. I mean, the casting department casted all the roles properly. The costume designers did such a great job. Lighting was on point. Everything, every little thing with this was good, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think there'll be a sequel?
I don't know, but I'm hoping so.
Yeah. What was your favorite scene in the movie? Mine, probably one of my favorite scenes was when, you know, the bully goes into the cornfield to do some chores, and, you know, it's Misty with the scarecrow and good focus shots, because you just get a feeling, creepy feeling, the scarecrow's coming to life, and it is just scary. And how
I actually was getting ready to mention that scene, because with all the anti-bullying stuff, them having a kid like that and them playing that up, man, that if that doesn't freak some people out and make them think about bullying somebody, I don't know what will. You know what I mean? Because just looking at those shots, just when you're sitting watching it, it makes you think karma's a bitch, you know?
Karma, I was thinking that too. Karma is definitely a bitch. I mean, because there's movies, very much movies like that, like, you know, if you see The Craft, something that happens. And I've got to think of what other movies that had karma in it.
Carrie?
Which one? Carrie, yeah, because she uses their telekinetic powers. Yes. Yeah. And what else? But, yeah, there was karma in this one. And, I was just thinking, yeah, all around this was a great movie and worth watching, and I hope to see a part two.
I tell you what, man. I say we go ahead, because we've already sung its praises. I say we go ahead and give it our rating.
I give it 3.5 bats.
Oh, well, I'm actually, because of how happy I am that we finally got this, I'm giving it 4.
Okay, I almost gave it 4. Almost. Just not quite. Well, it's a great film.
I'm going for 4 because it's one that I'm going to want to keep in my library.
Yeah. And also, it was a real treat having Donovan's song, Season of the Witch, playing during the beginning of the story. It leaves a nice touch of it. So.
Oh, yeah, very nice touch.
Yeah.
Anyhow, man.
So, what should we have coming up next? Another music break, perhaps?
Yeah, let's go ahead and throw some more music in.
Next up is the Jasons again with I'm Gonna Kill That Girl.
We're gonna kill that girl! 1, 2, 3, 4!
I saw her walking down the street. I jumped out and knocked her off her feet. That's when she knew it was the end of her.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm gonna kill that girl. I'm gonna kill that girl. I'm gonna kill that girl tonight. I'm gonna kill that girl. That girl, I'm gonna kill that girl.
Well, Greg, it's been fun this all for this special Halloween edition of Racks and Razors.
Yeah, and we'd like to apologize to the listeners that it took a long time for our next episode, but what we're doing is it probably bi-monthly doing our show because we're busy with other commitments when it comes to, like, me doing the site or sometimes an acting gig, as well as you doing it, making your films and, you know, work and stuff, as well as my work, too. So it does take a lot of time to make something like that, but we will be doing regularly shows. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, man. We'll be getting everything rocking and rolling. This bi-monthly thing is actually a good thing right now because of how busy we are, but we're working our way to being able to bring all of your monthly shows. So enjoy the shows that we bring you. I know that we're going to have a very special Christmas edition where we're going to review the entire legacy of Silent Night, Deadly Night. We're going to have another great interview. And, you know, we may have some great updates on some news for horror fans, including anything that we can find out from now to that point. I tell you what, man, the one great thing, you know, I forgot to mention, the one great thing that I love about October is The Walking Dead comes back. And, man, Dead is back, and I am so happy for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're doing such a great job with it.
I'm getting into watching The Walking Dead. And the viewers for my website, you know, I review movies and short films, but I'm also going to be reviewing horror TV shows like TV series and miniseries. That's going to take a while, though, because it's going to take me a long time to watch a lot of those shows. I won't review piece by piece of every episode, just an outline of what the show's all about and what it's like and what I think of it.
Oh,
so
that's good,
Walking
man.
Dead will be one of them. Yeah.
Well, that's good, man. I'm glad you're starting to expand your horizon. I'm sure that's going to be great for every one of the fans of Racks and Razors. But I
so
do want to make
site
sure.
Still has a lot of, my site still has a lot of catching up to do with that, unfortunately, but it's getting there.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, hey, like you said, man, it's a busy, busy life when you're in the entertainment business in just, you know, more than one aspect of it. You know, if it was just, if all you did was podcasting, then you'd be way better off with how you caught up on stuff, but, and reviewing, but, you know, like you said yourself, you're an actor and you got a lot going on, so it's understandable, bro, it's understandable. So,
yeah,
but anyhow,
I haven't been acting for a while, but, you know, I'm returning in your films and hopefully some other films, and it's just because, it's, you know, it was by a choice because I've been busy with other stuff and focusing on my site, too, of course.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, man, it's one of those things. It's good. It's great. We're getting everything rocking and rolling again. I'm very happy about it. I know you are. We had to find us a new home, and I'm glad we were able to find this home to be able to do things the way that we are. But I do want to make sure to mention to all of the fans listening, when you go out for Halloween and you go trick-or-treating, please, please remember to be safe and look out for each other, not just yourselves, because remember, there's a lot of kids running around. You don't want to hit anybody. You don't want to get in any accidents or running into cars that are stopping for their kids to go trick-or-treating. And be sure, once again, to join us in December when we have our special Christmas edition. And, Greg, it's been a pleasure as always, man. We're going to have to cut it out and get out of here. So if you want to say some farewells, go ahead.
Yeah, can I make an announcement of that's what's good to go to do for Halloween if anyone's in Los Angeles. I haven't been to Florida yet, but they have at Universal Studios the Halloween Horror Nights, which is the mazes of based on horror films. And this year it's stuff like Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and Walking Dead is one of the mazes. It's exciting to do and stuff, and I would advise people to go do the early one and get front of line pass. It's quite a bit of money, but it's worth it because then you won't have to wait in line for so long. Believe me, it takes hours to do all of them because there's a lot to do. So.
Oh yes, man. For any horror fan, that is true. Especially if you're a horror fan who loves horror films and you happen to catch this podcast and you didn't know that certain things existed, like horror conventions or different things like what you're talking about that Universal Studios does, you need to save up all year long because in October, that's the busiest month for conventions. It's the busiest month for shows as far as like Universal Studios doing horror nights and all that stuff. You know, it's the best time of year for a horror fan to just go on a vacation and enjoy every moment of what they're doing.
Yeah. Another maze now that popped in my mind that at the Halloween Horror Nights is Creepshow.
Oh, they're doing a Creepshow this year?
Yeah. And believe it or not, they're doing a Ghostbusters one, and that's a comedy, of course, but it involves ghosts, so it can please that horror fans. And Stranger Things Stranger Things is another one.
So everybody listening, if you haven't yet made plans, look up Halloween Horror Nights because, like he just said, mazes, Stranger Things, Ghostbusters, Creepshow,
House of the Thousand Corpses as well.
House of the Thousand Corpses, you know. Just
I think because
all
because,
these
because,
great deals.
Yeah, Sid Haig passed away, so maybe that's why they're doing a tribute to him.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. You know it, man. You know it. So
it's not. The Walking Dead. Yeah, The Walking Dead. It's not so much a maze. It's an attraction. When you go enter the show, I think when you enter the stuff, there's people dressed up like that. I am.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Oh, wait. It might be a maze. I could be wrong. It's. But it's Walking Dead is. Like, I'm at season 2, and it seems like a different story with different people than season 1. So.
Oh, yeah, man. It gets there, dude. You ain't even started the ride yet, man. It gets crazy.
Yeah.
But
and
anyway,
people who don't like zombie films may enjoy watching Walking Dead. So.
Well, man, yeah, you're right about that. But. I tell you what, man, we need to go, so...
Yeah, I've been talking too much.
No, man. You can hear the excitement and passion for horror that you have, and that's not talking too much. That's just a great thing for people to hear. But anyway,
okay.
Once again, thank you for listening. This has been Racks and Razors.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at Racks and Razors Radio, we love to bring the horror. That's why I'm going to let you know right now, if you want to get some amazing horror artwork, whether it be something from your favorite film or something from the artist's head himself with some unique stuff, you need to go check out DiscoBloodbath.com. That's DiscoBloodbath.com. Christmas is right around the corner, so if your loved one loves horror, be sure to go to DiscoBloodbath.com for one of the most unique Christmas gifts you can give.
As the lights are growing dim, there's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
for joining us tonight on Racks and Razors. Want to thank everybody who sent in their music for us tonight. If you want to get your stuff played on the show, go to racksandrazors.com and email us through that, and we'll hopefully get you on the show because it's awesome. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in a month.
This has been Racks and Razors, online at racksandrazors.com.